Psalms 85. I was given the theme, Lord, revive us again. Lord, revive us again. The Bible says in Psalms 85, beginning at verse number 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all thy sins, Shalom. Thou hast taken away all of thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Is that what your Bible say? Let the church say amen. I've been given the topic, Lord, revive us again, with the subtopic, we need a revival. We need a revival. As individuals, we face some horrifying moments, some chilling circumstances, some crippling diseases and untimely deaths. As individuals, we can easily find ourselves living wrecked lives and not knowing which way to turn. As individuals, we watch some of our family members face some tragic events, some extreme difficulties, and sometimes we ask ourselves, what can I do? When your life has been wrecked and you're left wondering, the only thing that you can truly do is wait. Wait upon the God of heaven. As Christians, we face our heartaches and we face our headaches to remind us that this world is not our home. We undertake our struggles and we live through our sadness. We strive from day to day to keep our heads above water. We remind ourselves that this world is not our home and we cannot do this all on our own. As Christians, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus has already spoken that in this world we shall have difficult days. In this world, we're going to have some troublesome nights. In this world, we're going to find ourselves with our backs up against the wall. In this world, we have to understand that peace is only in Christ Jesus. The Bible said in John 16 and verses number 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If peace is in Christ Jesus, then that means that I need to be connected to Jesus Christ. If the world is going to offer me some challenging moments, then Lord knows I need to be connected to Jesus Christ. Just because I am a Christian, it does not mean that my spirit will not be bothered. It does not mean that I do not search for answers to the simple but yet hard questions. In the body of Christ, we will face some hardships. In the body of Christ, we will face our headaches. In the body of Christ, we will face our disappointments. And then when things happen, members get slack in their attendance. They get slack in their giving. They get slack in their work efforts. And even sometimes, even in the midst of service, they find themselves really not singing. They sit in a Bible class and their minds have wandered off. And even sometimes you look and you see a brother or a sister shedding tears. That's when you know it's really time to have a revival. When time is hard upon one another, we must look how to help one another to come out of difficult situations. But that's when the church ought to see it's time for a revival. When you see husbands and wives having difficulties with their children, when you see husbands and wives having difficulty with one another, when you see Sister Rogers looking sort of mean at Brother Rogers, it's time for a revival. There comes a time in life that we need to know we need to have a revival. There are three important factors here that I want to share with you here this morning. It's time we need to have a revival to strengthen our spiritual connection with God. We need to have a revival to strengthen our spiritual connection with God. Secondly, we need to have a revival to speak positive in critical moments. We need to have a revival to speak positive in critical moments. And then thirdly, we need to have a revival to sharpen my attitude that I might exist the weak. We need a revival to sharpen my attitude that I might assist the weak. Now you see, I got the homework done. Whether or not I get a chance to preach it all, that's up to you. We need a revival to strengthen our spiritual connection with God. In our text in Psalms 85, the writer expresses a question. The children of God had returned from captivity in Babylon, and they were facing new afflictions and more calamities. The writer says in Psalms 85 and verse number 6, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" When one spirit has been crushed, there is a need of a revival. When one's life has been turned upside down, there is a need in a revival. We must not forget that life will offer us some difficult days. And in those difficult days, we that are the children of God must remember 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses number 12. Well, the Bible said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. We will have our ups and downs because this world is not a place of peace. I know we pray for peace, but this world is not a place of a back peace. See, peace is only in Christ Jesus. And said peace is only in Christ Jesus. And the people of the world is driven by the lust of the world, by the lust of their eyes, and by the pride of life. You will never have peace on this side of life. Peace is only in Christ Jesus. Not only will Satan throw some blows our way in life, but we must understand that when Satan throws those blows our way, we already have a word from the Lord that can strengthen us and cause us to walk the straight and narrow path. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verses number 8, Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant before your adversary the devil as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfastly in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, maketh you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle in you." It helps me to understand that individuals before me have the same struggles or had the same struggles, and individuals after me, if the Lord has not destroyed this world, will have the same struggles. So every day of my life, it's important for people to see what's really in me. What do they see in me? I am a slave today. I am a doulos. I belong to Jesus Christ. And since I belong to Jesus, it behooves the world to understand that what they see is really not me. It's really Christ Jesus that lives in me. And regardless what comes up in life, I need to be prepared for whatever happens on this side of life. But church, we must understand that life is difficult. And Satan throws some blows our way. But sometimes, we must also be honest, that sometimes we bring calamities upon our own lives. The church in Laodicea is a picture how many bring calamities in their own lives. You know where I'm going. I'm going to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse number 14. Now where I'm from, that means you need to meet me there. Now, if you don't meet me there, I'm going to take my time. And I already hear some stomachs growling. And we need to make sure we work on God's word. Y'all with me this morning? So in Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verses number 14, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." You mean to tell me God's children are neither cold nor hot. You mean to tell me we trying to straddle the fence? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will draw close to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters. So in other words, on Sunday, you can't be here singing, oh, how I love Jesus, and I'm cussing and fussing on Monday. Oh, Lord, I must be up in the house now. Well, let's listen to what he says. I would thou were cold or hot. Because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, here the problem is, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wait a minute, Lord. I am rich. Wait a minute, Lord. I'm increased with many goods. Wait a minute, Lord. I have need for nothing. That sounds like that man that planted that nice farm, had a good crop that came in, tore down his old barn and put up a new barn, and then said, I'm just going to sit back, take my ease, and relax. But God said, this night, thy soul is required of thee. See, sometimes we bring things upon ourselves because we put self above God Almighty. I know what I need to do. I need to go to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. I need to go get this right quick, fast, in a hurry. I could quote this, but I need somebody to see it. Because somebody here this morning don't understand that Christ died that he could have the preeminence in our lives. Not just in some things, but in all things. So in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, and he is the head of the body. Do you see what I see? Then he said, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I need you to underscore that phrase, that in all things he might have the preeminence. See, Christ died that he could be first in every aspect of our lives. So whatever you think about going, Christ needs to be first. Whatever you think about saying, Christ needs to be first. Whatever you think about doing, Christ needs to be first. Whatever you think about sitting and making yourself at home, Christ needs to be first. And if Christ is not first in your life, then that means that you have fallen short of the glory of God. There is an invisible body, Bible, that I carry around with me. And in this invisible body, Bible, there are certain verses that every now and then just sort of pop up. I saw it when it popped up over here. I saw it again when it popped up over here. Did y'all see what I saw? Well, if you didn't see what I saw, let me show you what I saw. I saw James chapter 4 and verse number 17. Well, the Bible says, therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Did you see what I saw? Now, if you saw what I saw, we saw the same thing. But if you didn't see what I saw, that means we didn't see the same thing. So that means I got to go back and show you again. Therefore, unto him that knoweth to do good, and to him that doeth it not, to him is sin. Understand, when you know something and you just decide not to do it, you need to understand that is sin. My grandmother said, boy, did I not tell you that your curfew was 9:30? I'm walking in at 10:15. She said, son, did I not tell you the curfew is 9:30? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, so you know what that means, don't you? I said, no, ma'am. She said, boy, that was my nickname. She said, boy, why you want to lie to me? I said, I don't know. She said, son, I said, yes, ma'am. Why are you trying me? I say, I don't know. You need to give me an answer beside I don't know. I said, Lord, have mercy upon me. She said, yeah, he need to because I don't have any mercy upon you. My grandmother didn't mean, she didn't mind tearing you up. And I'm talking about tear you up. She said, take the clothes off because the clothes ain't done nothing to me. Clothes ain't done nothing to me. Pull them off. I got to get some skin. And you would wonder, you would say to yourself, when you know you ought to do something, when you've already been told, what makes you go against what you've been told? See, sometimes we think we are too grown. Sometimes, see, the gentleman in Bible class this morning, he didn't want to say it, but I'm going to go on and tell it. Sometimes we just live foolish lives. Sometimes we just want to act a fool. So when you get to acting a fool, somebody got to come back in and straighten this thing all out. So my grandmother said that foolishness was bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction would draw it far from him. And she said, I got all the rod of correction that I might need. And she didn't mind tearing us up. See, the church today have to understand that God's people sometimes fall short because of the difficulties of life. Sometimes we bring matters upon ourselves. And when we bring matters upon ourselves, we have to make sure that we sit down and talk to people and show them where they've gone wrong. See, sometimes what we end up doing is we don't want to hurt people's feelings. But their soul is at stake. Their soul is at stake. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Church, do we understand that there is a time that we need to sit down and show people this is what's wrong in your life because you're not putting Christ first in your life. I believe that anytime somebody comes and asks the church for assistance, that means that's an opportunity to teach. Let me tell you something. I don't mind helping anybody. But that comes a point when you understand, when you ask for help, that means that opened the door for me to help you somewhere to come to a better understanding. Are you really putting Christ first in your absolute life? Then if not, then let me help you. This church in Laodicea had gotten to the point that they thought they were rich. But actually, he said, you're poor. He said, they had gotten to the point where saying, we didn't have need of anything. He said, you're wretched. You are blind. You are naked. You need me. You never get to the point where you too rich that you don't need God. I'm talking to a friend. He said, preacher, I see so many people that's trying to get fame and fortune. I said, partner, do you realize that when we are in Christ, we are already famous? I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a chosen generation. Don't make me go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and number 6, and show you that I'm a king, that show you that I'm a priest. I have to remind Sister Rogers sometimes, girl, do you not know you're talking to the king of the house? Girl, do you not know who I am? I don't mind telling her, I'm King Rogers. I belong to Jesus. Woo! The Lord saw the lukewarm attitudes. The Lord saw the lukewarm devotion. The Lord saw the lukewarm attendance. The Lord saw the lukewarm singing. The Lord saw the lukewarm giving. The Lord saw the lukewarm listening to the word of God. The Lord saw them going through the motion during the communion. The Lord saw their lukewarm lips moving in prayer, but their hearts were far from God. We need a revival to strengthen our spiritual connection to God. Every child of God is dealing with troubles in life and blows from Satan and losing their spiritual edge. We need to rely upon the word of God. That's why Paul would say over in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verses number 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up unto us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm saying, church, we need a revival to strengthen our spirit's connection to God Almighty. Woo, I did all of that. That's only point one. We need a revival to speak positive in critical moments. I have a friend that's battling with prostate cancer. And he's working on speaking positive, even in critical moments. I have a friend that's battling with AIDS. And we are working on speaking positive in critical moments. I have a friend that's battling with bad and unhappy marriage. And we are working on speaking positive, even in critical moments. In moments such as these, we need a revival. Jesus, God's Son, that became our Redeemer, expressed to his disciples that while he was soon get ready to leave them, he was not going to leave them by themselves. He was going to give them something that they need. I need to show you what every child of God need up in here this morning. Meet me in John chapter 14 and verse number 27. John chapter 14 and verse number 27. I want you to see this now because this makes all the sense in the world. And I want to show you, actually there are two things that we really need, because once you see one, you can't help but have the other. But if you got one and you need to get the other, let's get it today. Let's get it today. In John 14 and verse number 27, Jesus declared, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Every time I see the word peace in God's word, I underscore it because I understand what it means to have peace. I know what it really means to have peace. Before I was a preacher, I was a manager, general manager. At one time, I've had six stores. We were living in Texas. My wife was back here in Alabama because her sister was dying. It was a Sunday morning. I should have gotten up to go to church. But what I did was use that old excuse, "I'm tired. I have no days to myself. I need a moment to just get my head together." Well, my wife said, "You need to send me a couple of money orders." Well, you can't get them on Sunday at the bank, so you got to go somewhere where you can get them. I went to this convenience store thinking I was going to get these money orders and put them in the mail. I'm standing at the counter, guy counting out my money, getting ready to get me a money order. I feel a gun to the back of my head. I couldn't even move. Normally, I tell folks, "I'm Floyd Rogers." Do you know what that means? I'm Floyd Rogers. That day, I couldn't even think what my name really was. That gun in the back of my head, and he said, "You better not move." I can't move. I'm stuck in my footprints right here. He tell the cashier, "Don't even think about moving." She's scared. He said, "Hand me all the money." She's so nervous, she cannot handle the money. I thought that was a time to be scared. But when he took all of my clothes, you don't hear what I'm saying. When he took all of my clothes and threw me in the freezer with this poor old lady, and I tell folks, the woman was more afraid of me than she was of dying. "I don't want you, woman. I'm cold right now." I hope I'm not offending anybody, but I'm just trying to show you something. You want to talk about being in the midst of a moment where you can't think? I couldn't think. And the only thing I could think about, "Lord, if you get me out of this situation right here, I go to church every Sunday from now on. I go to church. Lord, I know you getting my attention. I know you using this moment to get my attention." I thought that day was over and done with when somebody finally saw us in that cold, and we hollered, "I'm cold. Get us out." Found the clothes in the trash. had to go downtown to give a report. I went home, changed clothes, and said, let me go to work. Because at this moment, I'm trying to find peace. And most men know if they go to work, they can think they got some peace. But your job don't give you any peace. Your job really don't even give you any security. Your peace and security is in Christ Jesus. I went to the first store. There was a young lady laying in the restroom with a needle stuck in her arm, about dead. Not only about dead, she ended up dying. There was a young man that had been missing for 4 days, a good friend of mine. They found him down the street in the trunk of a car with a bullet hole in his head. And I said, Lord, you got my attention. I can go home. I can go back on my grandmother's porch, and I can sit on that porch and rock if that's what you want me to. But I already know what you want me to do. You want me to make sure I'm in service every Sunday. Get me out of Houston, Texas, and I'll show you, Lord. I'll go back to working for you. I know what it means really to have peace. Even when Sister Rogers is mad at me and rolling her eyes, I'm still at peace. Because my peace is in Christ Jesus. And since my peace is in Christ Jesus, I understand that even Sister Rhonda, we've been married 30 plus years. And I tell a girl, you ain't gonna never find nobody like me because I'm Flora Rogers. I'm just talking right now. But at the same time, everybody wants peace, but everybody wants joy. They want peace, but they want joy. And we fail to realize that peace is connected to Jesus, and joy is also connected to Jesus. I'm in John 17. I'm at verse number 13. I'm waiting up on you. John 17. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's praying, he takes time out to just show us what he's really going to give us. We see that in John 14, 27, that peace is in him. But now watch him in John 17 and verse number 13. The Bible said, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You need to underscore that phrase, my joy, because the joy that Christ has given me, you can't take away. The peace that Christ has given me, you can't take away. It doesn't matter what come up in life, what individuals say against Floyd Rogers. I know that my peace is in Christ Jesus. And when you're living and you are not at peace, it's time to have a revival. When you're living and you don't know what it really means to have joy, it's time to have a revival. And so often, church, we catch ourselves going through the motion and doing everything that we know that we ought to do, but we are doing it with no joy, and we are doing it, and we're even not at peace with one another. This side won't speak to this side. It's time for a revival. Everybody that's sitting beside somebody ought to say something about, I got peace within me. You ought to say, I got some joy within me. Why? Because I'm connected to Jesus Christ. Church, it's time to have a revival to speak positive in critical moments. We need to have a revival to strengthen our spiritual connection with God. But last but not least, to sharpen my attitude that I might assist the weak. Everything that a Christian faces is done to assist the weak brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. There are two words that we must place within our vocabulary to sharpen our attitudes, that we might assist the weak. We need to have some perseverance, and we need to be patient. When we have difficulties, when we are facing our struggles, while we are in our wrecked moments and wondering, we must be persistent.
people, your neighbors are watching you. And they're wondering that if you can't move on, when you say that you believe in God, you say that you have the truth, but you can't let the truth be seen in your life at this moment because something have broke off in your life and you got trouble on every hand. People are looking at you. That's why Paul will say in Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verses number 1, he says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. We've got to understand that comes a point in life that any of us can be overtaken in a fault. And ye which are spiritual, what you mean, preacher? See, a spiritual individual can look past his own problems to see, I've got to help somebody else. A spiritual man got to look past his own desires and shed in tears because I know it's a possibility that somebody is looking at me. And only way for me to help them to come out of the miry clay, I've got to make sure that I'm ready to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering myself, lest thou also be tempted. I've got to make sure that I give a better example than what other people give. I'm a child of a king. I'm a Christian. So therefore, people are looking at me. Therefore, people are listening to me. So what do they see when trouble is knocking on our doors? Sister Rogers may decide that she's going to pack up and leave Brother Rogers. I don't mind telling her. I don't mind telling you either. There ain't but one flawed Rogers gear. And just like I sit back there in that church and I wrote them letters to you and said, girl, I like you. Do you like me? And when she said no, I didn't give up. I knew something about persistence. Sometimes you got to be persistent. One letter I wrote and said, girl, I love you. Do you love me? Again, she said no. Oh, but look who been married to Brother Rogers 31 years. Oh, but look, and look, every time I mention Serena, she gets mad and want to fight. So look, 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 you may have said no, but in the end you said yes. And because you said yes, that shows the power of God. If you are persistent, then God will definitely hear your cry. David said, I waited on the Lord. He heard my cry. He brought me up out of the miry pit. He set my feet upon a solid rock. I'm telling you, church, we've got to know the importance of just being persistent. But then we also got to know that we've got to also be patient. Many women are fighting with different cancers, high blood pressure, losing a child. What you got to do? You got to be persistent, but you got to be patient and wait upon the Lord. When you're patient and waiting upon the Lord, Paul said you got to do something like this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses number 18, the Bible said, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watch it unto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What you're saying, preacher, I don't mind going ahead and knowing, letting the world know I am a persistent individual. I don't mind waiting because as I wait, I know God got me. So if God got me, show me, Lord, what you want me to do. Sometimes we've been wrecked and we find ourselves wondering, and the only thing you can do is simply wait upon God. You must be patient. God never just shows up when we want him to show up. He shows up on his own timetable. Somebody asked Paul at midnight when him and Silas were singing praises unto God. What happened? God just showed up. He didn't come when they wanted him to, but he came and he was on time. Somebody ought to let somebody know that God truly shows up. Let's put Jesus in the right place. And when we put Jesus in the right place, then truly we can be blessed. It's time for a revival. We need a revival to speak positive in critical moments. We need a revival to sharpen our connection with God. We need a revival to sharpen our attitude that we might assist the weak. And we know the church is full of weak members. Everybody's not on the same spiritual level. So we've got some work to do. That's why I say, let's put Jesus in the right place. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. He's Abel's sacrifice. He's Noah's rainbow. He's Abram's ram. Isaiah's well. Jacob's ladder. Jacob's scepter. Balaam's Shiloh. Moses' rod. Joshua's sun and moon that stood still. Elijah's manna. Elijah's staff. I'm just simply talking about Jesus. He's David's slingshot. Daniel's vision. Amos's burden. Malachi's son of righteousness. Jesus was shown he's Peter's shadow. Stephen's signs and wonders. Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons. Paul's pearly white city. He is the bright and morning star. He is the express image of this person. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is that pearl of great price. He is that rock in a weary land. He is that cup that runneth over. He is that rod and that staff that comfort me. He is the government of our life. And upon his shoulders, we are healed by his stripes. God gave us his son. And since he gave us his son, I have no other choice but let this dying world know I serve a risen Savior. And since I serve a risen Savior, I'm going to be as the Apostle Paul would say, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. There come a time in life that we need to make sure that we got that connection to God Almighty. And every now and then we lose that connection, but that's why we need to have a revival to make sure we get back connected back to God Almighty. I'd be willing to guarantee you, somebody walked up in here this morning, heavy hearted, and would cry, but they don't want people to feel sorry for them. You need to get connected back to God. But see, but let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with shedding tears. Because, see, if the Lord can show me in the scriptures that he take our tears and places them in a bottle, Lord, I shed my tears here because I know over yonder you're going to wipe all of my tears away. I'm waiting on that moment that I know I won't have to cry anymore. So I'll just shed my tears on this side of life. We look, and I just believe that every now and then God's children are reminded, we don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price, and it was not silver and gold, but it was the blood of Jesus, God's son, that paid for you and I. And since he paid for you and I, we belong to him. So Lord, I need my connection to you. But even though I got my connection to you, sometimes, and I was telling one of the elders this morning, I got an extreme bad headache. And I said, I'm hoping that when I start preaching, it'll be gone. And I thought, Floyd, you're working with your friends on speaking positive in critical moments. Just go on and say, Lord, I know you got this. Lord, I know you got this. Because I know that you want me to do what you have already commissioned for me to do. So don't let Satan hinder me. Lord, I know you got me. Do I believe that? I believe that. I forgot I even had a headache. Forgot I even had a headache. Then I got to looking at the lesson stuff. Then I got to thinking, that was 7 pages. And I said, let me let these folks have something to eat. Because I got something else for you this evening. And I will take my time. But right now, I know that God's people really need the Lord. That's why it's a time for a revival. We go through our difficult moments so that we can be brought back to God. God sees us slipping away sometimes. And when he sees us slipping away, he reaches out. But the thing is, we don't take hold of his hand. So I'm encouraging you this morning to take hold of his hand.
There may be someone in here today that are not members of that blood-bought institution. If you're not members of the body of Christ, we want you this morning to put Christ Jesus on in a watery grave of baptism. How do you get to this point? First of all, you hear the word. Romans 10 and verse number 17, so faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you hear it, you got to believe what you have heard. John 8 and verse number 24, Hebrews 11 and verses number 6. When you hear it and believe it, repent of your sins. Acts 2 and verse number 38, Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. When you hear it, believe it, and repent, be willing to open up your mouth, confess that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. And then do as Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I like the fact that Peter said that baptism now does save us. It's not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism saves us. So we've got to go to the watery grave to have our sins washed away. Ananias would simply say, Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Someone here this morning need to put Christ Jesus on in a watery grave of baptism that you can become a part of Jesus Christ. See, when you're buried in Christ, Romans chapter 6, you rise a new creature as Christ raised. That's why Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You need to be in Jesus today. It was Jesus that said in John chapter 3 and verse number 7, marvel not that I say a man must be born again. There's someone here this morning that needs to be born again. And I'm asking you to get up out of your seat and walk this aisle. Give your hand to one of the leaders, but your heart truly over to the Lord. And go to the watery grave to have your sins washed away. We that are members of the body of Christ, we are not perfect. We're striving for perfection. Sometimes we catch ourselves thinking thoughts that we should not think. Sometimes we catch ourselves saying words that we should not say. Sometimes we catch ourselves doing things that we should not do. But James has confessed our faults one to another. Pray one for another that you might be healed. He says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you want to be saved and make heaven your home, it shouldn't be a problem to simply say, church, I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I need you praying for me.